Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. I'm excited to say we will be starting a new book today. We will be in Chronicles, and I'm just going to be honest. It seems like when we first started, it is a whole bunch of he's got, she got, me got. But understand each and every begot is for a reason and a purpose. And as we go through the word, eventually it starts to show what that purpose was. So when we get to our Chronicles, I will give an overview of First Chronicles in our 10 words or less, which I absolutely love this little book. So thank you so much for joining me this morning as we get ready to go into our word. And I had said that there would be a blog on tomorrow because I will be out of town on Sunday. And again, God puts things in your heart. And so there will not be a show on tomorrow. I do have to have my day of rest. But we will have one on Sunday. It will be about, it will still be 7 o'clock, but Central Standard Time, but it will be 6 o'clock Eastern Time, for I will be out of Central Time. So we will still have our blog. We still have our show. I will just be doing it possibly an hour early. So it'll be 6 o'clock wherever I am, which will be, I believe, 7 o'clock here. So I think we'll still be on time. We'll still get everything done the way we always do, decent and in order. So I thank you all for listening in. So please join me on Sunday, as we always do. You know, sometimes we want to take into our hands and do what we want to do and not what thus says God. God said, I tell you not to have a blog on Sunday. What did I tell you? The Sabbath is your rest day, and you keep it holy. So if you are resting on Saturday, tomorrow, because I actually need it. So thank you so much for joining me this morning as we get ready to move through Chronicles and finish up 2 Kings. And we have done a lot in 2 Kings. We've gone through a lot of kings. And it really summed it up well. Both Jewish nations are destroyed for their disobedience to God. And we're about to go through the destruction of Jerusalem. It breaks your heart when you see what was and what was taken. And I would say to this day that, and this is my opinion, nobody else's, not in the book, not in the book, but I honestly sometimes believe that the Iraqi war was to get some of these things, because understand that Babylon was modern day Iraq, and talk about iniquities, lots and lots and lots. And many things that came from this era were in places and they were looted. So just throwing it out there that it makes you wonder if, and it always is, greed has a way of showing up in everything. So, again, my words, not God's words. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, humbly seeking more of you, Lord God. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Father God. For you are my strength and redeemer. You are my Father God, and I am grateful to be your servant. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. And I ask you, Lord God, that this word touches hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that listen will lead differently, but they will understand and know that your word is true. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word. I lift up your name. And, Lord, I ask you to continue guiding my footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God and to his word, not mine. And as we continue, we are finishing up this morning 2 Kings, and then we will be going into Chronicles, chapters 1 through 4. And if God permits and time permits, we will have Psalm 75 and some parts of Proverbs chapter 19. So let's do the word, 2 Kings chapter 25. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of the reign, in the 10th month of the 10th day of the month. Wow. That Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a siege wall against it all around. So the king was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine had become in the city, that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden. Even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city, and the king went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plain of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Rabbah, and they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord. That just does something to my spirit. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem. That is, all the houses of the great. He burned with fire, burned it down. You know, you hear the term burn it down. He did it. He burned down the house of God that Solomon built. He burned God's house. That just, it hits my heart to say that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of the people who remained in the city, and the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon with the rest of the multitude. But the captain of the guard left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers, the bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and the bronze seat that were in the house of the Lord. The Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered. the fire pans and the basins and the things of solid gold and solid silver, and the captain of the guard took away the two pillars, one sea, and the carts which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze and all the articles were beyond measure. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and the capital on it was of bronze. Excuse me. The height of the capital was 3 cubits. Now, you think this through. We're talking more than you could ever imagine in bronze. They tore up the house of God for stuff, for the silver, for the gold, for the bronze, and mainly to get back at Israel. And they honestly were doing God's will, because everything that God had told Hezekiah and Josiah is happening because of their disobedient, stiff-necked, hard-headed self. Like this. They tore up the house of God. And as we continue, it says this. The captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 5 men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the chief recruiting officer of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. So Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon in Rabbah. Then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Rabbah in the land of Hamath, thus carried away captive from his own land. Then he made Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphan, governor over the people who remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left. Now when all the captains of the army, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Ishmael, the son of Nathanai, Johanan, the son of Kira, Shirai, the son of Tenhamath, the Netophiah, and Jezaniah, the son of Mechonite, they and their men. Gedaliah took an oath before them and their men and said to them, do not be afraid of the servants of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it happened in the 7th month that Ishmael, the son of Nethani, the son of Elmishnah, the royal family of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck and killed Gedaliah, the Jews, as well as the Chaldeans who were with him at Mizpah, and all the people, small and great, and the captains of the army, arose and went to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison and spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day all the days of his life. And we know Jehoiachin was a wicked king, but a wicked king, as they say, like knows like. We're going to go into our Psalms, and then we're going to go into Chronicles. After we finish our Psalms and Proverbs, then we will go into a new chapter, a new book, and start Chronicles. So Psalm 75, so please join me in Psalm 75. And it says this, to the chief musician said to do not destroy, a psalm of Asaph. And it says, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Again, but in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and it pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth and drink down. Well, but I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Our God can do all things but fail. Psalm 76, verses 1 through 6. To the chief musician, one stringed instrument, a psalm of Asaph. As Judah, God is known. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem, also in his tabernacle, and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword of battle, Selah. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands at your rebuke, O God of Jacob. Both the chariots and horses were cast into a deep sleep. And I say, don't play with God. Psalms 76, verses 7 through 12. You yourself are to be feared. And who may stand in your presence? When once you are angry, you cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth, Selah, surely the wrath of man shall praise you. With the reminder of wrath, you shall gird yourself, make vows to the Lord your God, and pay them. You hear that? Make vows to the Lord and pay them. Don't make vows to God and don't do what you say you're going to do. Because I'm going to tell you something. You will find yourself cursed and wonder what happened. God don't play that. Does not play. Don't play with God because it will not go well with you. And it says, let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. We are blessed beyond measure. God will give you the desire of your heart, but you got to do what's right. And let's go with a few life lessons from Psalm 75 and 76. Psalm 75, 6 says, exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God's people are not to curry favor with powerful figures in an attempt to selfishly advance their own careers or positions. Did y'all hear that? And what have we seen in these last years? But what God's people currying favor, come on now, with powerful people to selfishly advance their own careers and positions. And that's exactly what happened. And still out there prophesying. They are to work as to the Lord and leave advancement in his hands. Come on now. We've seen it too many times. Folks going all out of their way to do what's wrong instead of doing what's right. You know, and this is a word that we need to really think about. And this is also from Psalm 75. It says, before his death, David told his son and successor Solomon, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And it goes on to tell us, our ability to know and seek God and serve him with our whole heart begins with one word, humility. As the Apostle James wrote, God is proud but gives grace to the humble. Sadly, Solomon did not cling to his father's words of advice. Instead, he abandoned his instruction and married women who worshiped other gods. But sin has consequences. And while God did not forsake his promise, he did remove his blessing from Solomon's life. If you desire God's wisdom, be sure you are willing to humble yourself and follow wisdom's pathway. God told Solomon he could ask for anything, and it would be his. Instead of asking for great wealth or power, Solomon chose to ask for wisdom, which God provided abundantly. As Solomon grew older, however, he relied on his wisdom alone instead of leaning on God to inform that wisdom. In his early years, he had trusted God and wanted to do the Lord's will. But eventually, Solomon stopped relying on the Lord and began to rely entirely on his own ability. That was his downfall. When we fail to humbly listen to God, we begin to listen to the wrong voices, our own, the devil's, and those who don't have God's very best for us in mind. We are easily deceived, and decisions outside the will of God quickly turn disastrous. We become prideful and in various haughty ways express our independence from God. We begin to make decisions that appeal to our own desires and not to the Lord's. We hurt those around us. We miss God's very best. How can you avoid these perils? Ask God to open your heart to his truth. Be willing to obey his word, even if it means giving up something you hold as precious. Obedience is always better than the richest sacrifice. Our God is a God of restoration, and he will never refuse your sincere desire to obey and please him. And the title that God gave me this morning is, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart, but you got to trust God. You can't go out on your own will, doing your own thing. God will give you the desire of your heart, whatever that desire may be. But you got to do what you got to do right for God. You can't go out doing you. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm going to do me. Doing you is going to get you killed. You got to do God and do what God says do. Don't go out there doing your own thing, because your own thing may not be right with God. We got to listen to the voice of God and do what thus says the Lord. And as we continue our last psalm, life lesson is this. You yourself ought to be feared. The contemporary American church has lost most of its fear of God, and that is the truth. And that is one big reason why it is so weak. Jesus says, fear him who after he has killed has power to cast in the hell. Nobody can cast you in the hell but God, but the Son of God. But I tell you one thing, we better get out of doing what we're doing. You know, God will open doors for you, but you cannot sacrifice the love of God and the rightness of God for anything. All the riches in the world ain't worth your soul. All the prestige is not worth your soul. Being invited to the White House or to the Senate or to see the Queen of England is not worth your soul. I'm saying this. You know, we got to be careful that we don't sell us short by falling after every and I'm, you know, my mama used to call her every time Dick and Harry. You can't go falling after everything and everybody, because the willow in the wind says this is the church du jour. So everybody rushes to that church. And then when they finally start preaching a real message, then folks, oh, no, I don't want to hear that. I only came to hear the band. I only came to hear the choir. Yeah, he talking all that Jesus stuff. You know, well, why are you in church unless it's for that Jesus stuff? You got folks that come to church for the wrong reasons. And we got to stop it, because I'm telling you this. God sees everything. He knows your heart. And he knows your heart's desire. And he will give it to you. Sometimes he will give you good. Sometimes he will give you bad. And sometimes he will give you downright ugly. All you have to do is ask someone who has had a drug addiction. And that desire is to get high. Yeah. You get it. But is it what you really needed? No. We got to be careful what doors we open and who we allow into our life. God knows your heart. Yes, he does. And he knows the desire of your heart, and he will give it to you. But make the desire of your heart to know the Lord God, to seek him, to want him, to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That should be the desire of your heart, to know who your father is. Who's your daddy? His name is Jehovah. And he loves me. As we get close to Father's Day, that's your father, God. And he is like a good dad, give you what you need. And sometimes he gives you what you want. But overall, you got to trust in him. Thank you, God, for this mighty word this morning. And as we continue in our word, we are about to start a new book. Say, new book, y'all. Yay, new book. And as always, I'm coming out of How to Study the Bible. And it is a cool little book. And I love it. And it kind of gives us the whole word in 10 words or less. And it just says, know your Bible. All 66 books explained and applied. And I love it. And I also love, and I say, just get in your arsenal different things. You know, have study material. The more you study and meditate on the Word of God, the more it will permeate your hearts, your minds, and your spirit. But we are in Chronicles, and honestly, Chronicles is genealogy. And, you know, I understand that some will probably leave because it's going to be a whole bunch of bagats. And I mean, literally, it is a whole book. Everything I'm reading this morning from First Chronicles, chapters 1 through 4, is all begats. The only non-begat, and it is still a begat, is our prayer, you know, and I love it. The prayer of Jabez, and, you know, that is in our last chapter of this morning. You know, if you want to stay until we get to it, please do. But I understand folks can't deal with the begats. This is what the, summing it all up, First Chronicles, King David's reign is detailed and analyzed. That's it. And this is what it says. Not stated, but traditionally attributed to Ezra, the priest, the First Chronicles. And it says that the dates covers the history of Israel from about 1010 B.C., the death of King Saul, to about 970 B.C., the death of King David. And it goes on to say, in 10 words or less, King David's reign, in detail and analyze. Details, please. First Chronicles provides a history of Israel going as far back as Adam. By the 11th chapter, the story turns to Israel's greatest king, David, with special emphasis on his leadership of national worship, another important emphasis is on God's promise that David would have an eternal kingly line through his descendant, Jesus Christ. A quotable from First Chronicles, "I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore." First Chronicles chapter 17, verse 14. Unique and unusual. First Chronicles covers much of the same information as Second Samuel, but without some of the seedier aspects of David's life, such as his adultery with Bathsheba and the engineered killing of her husband Uriah. So what? The positive spin of First Chronicles was designed to remind the Jews that despite their punishment for sin, they were still God's special people. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. And I'm going to say that again. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. The author, not stated, but traditionally attributed. I'm going into the second book. Again, it's a one-pager for me. And it just says, so what? I love that word, so what? The positive spin. So remember this as we're going through all the begots, that it is a chronicle of David. That King David's reign is detailed and analyzed. But again, all the seedy stuff is not going to be there. It's not going to talk about David's adultery with Bathsheba or how he had Uriah killed. Because understand, he suffered for it. That child that they got in adultery died because of his parents' sin. You know, we have to do what is right in the sight of God. And I say it again, God will give you the desire of your heart. But I say to you, let your desire be to know the Lord and to love him with every part of who you are. God wants a cheerful heart and a cheerful giver. God wants us to be happy. You know, God is not a mean God. God is a good God, and he loves us, and he wants us to be happy. But we have to open our heart to that happiness, open our heart to God. You know, folks look at you and wonder how you can smile when you're going through some stuff, because you love God and you trust him. And that's what we have to do. Trust God. And now I'm getting ready to get into the begots. Whew. And I'm going to tell you, if I mess up a name or two, please forgive me. Because it's a lot of names. And some of these names are names that are hard to pronounce. So just, especially with a Kentucky tongue, which I have because my son tells me, he says, when you get carried away, you start sounding like you're from Kentucky. And so you may hear my southern drawl come out when I start talking these names, because some of them are just a little difficult. But we're going to do our best, and we're going to be got right now. We're about to talk about the lineage of David. We're going to start at Adam and work our way down. And it, all I can say is, it is a great word. Because when you start thinking about it, these names start popping out that we read in 1 and 2 Kings. These names start popping out that we read in 1 and 2 Samuel. And so it's a history lesson. And the names pop out that we read from basically Genesis to 2 Kings. These names start making sense to us. So let's get started. And it says Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Haley, Lyell, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Because remember, up until this generation of Noah, again, Adam, first generation, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalath, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and I know Enoch walked with God, and he disappeared and was taken up. You know, and like I said, if you get opportunity, read the book of Enoch. It's enlightening. That's all I can say. And it's not in our word. You have to go and buy it separate and apart. And again, I'll just say it's enlightening. Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now it goes on to tell us, after Noah, with these sons, remember, the earth was destroyed. So now these three men and Noah are about to repopulate the planet. And it says this, the sons of Jephthah were Gomer, Magog, Medai, Javan, Tubal, Mekesh, and Taurus. The sons of Gomer were Ash, Kenaz, Daphan, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elash, Tarnish, Ketim, and Radim. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mezaram, Put, Canaan. The sons of Cush were Sheba, Havilah, Sabbatah, Rama, Sabbatekah. The sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Mezarim begot Lidim, Anamim, Lahabim, Naphtam, Catharasim, Kashahim, from whom came the Philistines and the Kaphatorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heath, the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Gershahites, and the Havites, and the Arkites, and the Shenites, and the Arvadites, and the Zemarites, and the Hamahites. The sons of Shem were Elam, Ashar, Arphax, Lud, Aram, Uz, Meshach, Arphax begot Shelah, and Shelah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almadad, and Shelaphim, and Hazarmaroth, and Jerah, and Hederah, Uzal, Dikla, Iba, Abermel, Sheba, Orpha, Havilah, and Joab, and all these were the sons of Joktan. Shem, Arphax, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Ru, Sherug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, who is Abraham. The sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. These are their genealogies. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebajot, then Kedar, Abdel, Bethsam, Duma, Massa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Naphash, and Kedemah. These were the sons of Ishmael. Now the sons born to Keturah, Abraham's concubine, were Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abadiah, Edad, and all these were the children of Keturah. So y'all understand that it was Hagar who was Ishmael's mom, and then there was Keturah, who was the mother of Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Midian were Ephron, Epher, Hanok, Abadiah, and Eladiah, and all these were the children of Keturah. So Abraham had a concubine over there. So it wasn't just Isaac, and it wasn't just Sarah, and it wasn't just Hagar. There was Keturah. So remember, that is one of those questions that you might get in Bible trivia. Who was the concubine of Abraham? Her name was Keturah. So just remember that. And as we continue in verse 34, it says, and Abraham begot Isaac. The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel, which we know was Jacob. The sons of Esau were Eliphaz, Reuel, Jashub, Jalem, Korah. And the sons of Ephaz were Teman, Omar, Zephi, Gatam, and Kenet. And by Temanah, Amalek. And the sons of Ro were Nahash, Zerah, Shemeth, and Mezerah. The sons of Sur were Lotan, Shobal, Zebion, Anan, Deshan, Azar, and Dishon. Dishon and Deshan. And the sons of Lothan were Hori, Haman. Lothan's sister was Timnah. And the sons of Shobal were Elan, Mathani, Ebal, Shephi, on them. The sons of Zebion were Ajai and Anai. The sons of Anai were Dishon. The sons of Dishon were Hamran, Eshban, Ezran, and Chiran. The sons of Ezer were Bilhan, Zeban, and Dikhan. The sons of Dishan were Uz and Aaron. Now these were the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before a king reigned over the children of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, and the name of his city was Din Haba. And when Bela died, Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bezerah, Abazerah, reigned in his place. When Jobab died, Hashem in the land of the Temanites reigned in his place. And when Hashem died, Hadad, the son of Bedad, who attacked Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his place. The name of the city was Avaz. When Hadad died, Shimei of Mishrakah reigned in his place. And when Shimei died, Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his place. When Saul died, Baal-Hanan, the son of Ekbar, reigned in his place. And when Baal-Haran died, Hadad reigned in his place. And the name of his city was Pi. His wife's name was Mehatabel, the daughter of Mitred, and the daughter of Mezahab. Hadad died also, and the chief of Edom was chief Timnah, chief Eli, chief Jethan, chief Aholamabah, chief Elan, chief Benon, chief Kenaz, chief Taman, chief Mezbebazar, and chief Megadol, and the chief Aram. These were the chiefs of Edom. These were the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Thank God they were easier to pronounce. The sons of Judah were Onan, and Shelah. These three were born to him by the daughter of Shua, the Canaanite. The firstborn of Judah, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, so he killed him. And Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bore him Perez and Zerah. All the sons of Judah were five. And now we're going to go back, put a quick pin there, you know, and I'm hoping we'll get to four, but I'm not sure looking at the time, because it's a whole lot of begotten here. But I tell you, the story of Tamar, like I said, you'll find something that'll click. Now, understand, Tamar was a daughter-in-law of Judah, and Judah told her that she would get his youngest son to wife, but because of the first two wicked sons, he wanted to blame her for everything. But again, she tricked him, became dressed as a prostitute, had relations with him, twins. He wanted to get a stone until he found she had taken his cord and his staff and said, "This is who the daddy is." And he had to shut up, and that was it. So that's where you get the story of Perez. Again, as we continue, since the sons of Carmi were Achar, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the accused things. And remember that. That's a whole nother story. It's like I said, that's why it's important to read the Begats, because it's stuff that comes out and you're like, oh, I know that name. And as we go forth, it goes on to tell us, the son of Ethan was Ezron. Also the sons of Hezron were born to him were Jeremiah, Ram, and Chelubuah. Ram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nashon, leader of the children of Judah. Nashon begot Salma, and Salma begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot Eliab, his firstborn, Abinadab the second, Shimei the third, Nethanel the fourth, Radai the fifth, Oziam the sixth, and David the seventh. And their sisters were Zerah, Abigail, and the sons of Zerah were Abishai, Joab, and Ishmael, three. Gael bore Amasa, and the father of Amasa was Jether the Ishmaelite. Caleb, the son of Hezron, the children of Ezebai, his wife, and Jerathon. These were her sons, Jeshur, Shobab, Ardon. When Ezebai died, Caleb took Ephrath, as his wife, who bore him Hur, and Hur begot Uri, and Uri begot Bezalel. Now afterwards, Hezron went in to the daughter of Mishar, the father of Gilead, whom he married when he was 60 years old, and she bore him Segub. Segub begot Jair, who was 23 cities in the land of Gilead. Jashar, Syria, took them from them, from the town of Jar and Kenneth, and its town, 60 towns. All these belonged to the sons of Mishar, the father of Gilead, after Hezron died, and Caleb, after Ephrath, Hezron's wife, Abijah bore him Eshbar, the father of Tekoa. The sons of Jeremel, the firstborn of Hezron, were Ram, the firstborn of Benai, Oren, Ozim, and Azai. Jeremiel, another wife whose name was Etherah. She was the mother of Onim. The sons of Ram and the firstborn of Jeremiel were Mizai, Damin, and Ikar. The sons of Anin was Shammai and Jada. And the sons of Shammai were Nadab and Bishar. And I'm just going to be honest today. I am not going to go through all of these because I need to get to a certain point and place. And we're going to go down to verse number 52. And it says, and Shobal, the father of Kirjath, Jearim, and the descendants, Horeth, and half of the families of Methuselah, the families of Kirjath, Jearim, were the Inharites, and the Purites, and the Gimmonites, and the Mishorites. From these came the Zorahites and the Eshtolites. The sons of Shammai were Bethlehem and Netophonites, Etherites, Beth, Joab, half of the Manahites and the Zorites. And the families of the scribes who were dwelt in Jabez was the Terahites, the Shemites, and the Shohites, and those were the Kenites who came from Hamath and the father of the house of Rishal. And I wanted to make sure that Jabez was mentioned. And as we go to Chronicles chapter 3, so that was Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapters 1 and 2. Chapter says, now these were the sons of David who were born to him in Hebron. The firstborn was Ammon by Ahinenimah, the Jezreelites. The second, Daniel, by Abigail, the Carmelitess. The third, Absalom, the son of Micah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Gersha, the fourth of Donajai, the son of Haggith, the fifth, Shaphanath, and Abathal, the sixth, Atarim, by his wife, Eglah. These six were born to him in Hebron. There he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years, and these were born to him in Jerusalem, Shammai, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, four by Bashub, the daughter of Ammah. Also there were Ibhar, Eshlamah, Elphalet, Nogat, Nepheg, Japhiah, Elshamiah, Eladai, Eliphalet, nine in all. These were all the sons of David, besides the sons of the concubines, and Tamar, their sister. Solomon's son was Rehoboam. Abijah was his son. Asa his son. Jehoshaphat his son. Joram his son. Ahaziah his son. Joash his son. Amaziah his son. Azariah his son. Jotham his son. Ahaz his son. Hezekiah his son. Manasseh his son. Amon his son. And Josiah his son. The sons of Josiah were Jotham, the firstborn, the second, Jehoiakim, the third, Zedekiah, and the fourth, Shalom. The sons of Jehoiakim were Jeconiah, the son was Zedekiah, his son. And we just read about these guys in 2 Kings as Nebuchadnezzar was taken over and taking them into exile. And the sons of Jeconiah were Asher, Shalatiel, his son, and Melchiram, Pedai, Shanizar, Jeconiah, Hosamon, and Nadabah, the sons of Padiah and Zerubbabel and Shimei. The sons of Zerubbabel were Meshullam, Hananiah, Shelemai, their sister, and Hashbaz, Ohel, Barachai, Hershadai, and Jeshem. Heads are five in all, and I probably did not pronounce those names right, and I ask forgiveness up for it. It says the son of Hananiah were Pilatai and Jeshahai, the sons of Raphaenai, the sons of Arnon, the sons of Obadiah, and the sons of Shechaniah. The sons of Shechaniah were Shemaiah. The sons of Shemaiah were Igal, Berai, Neri, Shephas, six in all. The sons of Neri were Ilionai, Hezekiah, Azrakam, three in all. The sons of Ilionai were Hodaviah, Ashalab, Peliah, Kekab, Jonan, Deliah, and Ananiah, seven in all. The sons of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, Shabal, and Reah. The sons of Shabal begot Jahanth, and Jahanth begot Ahumai and Lahad. These were the families of the Zorites. These were the sons of the father of Itham, Jezreel, Ishma, and Adbash, and the name of their sister was Hazelaphani, and Benal was the father of Gedar, and Ezar was the father of Heshad. These were the sons of Hur, the first of the Ephraimites, the father of Bethlehem, and Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nera. Nera for him, Ahazam, Hefer, Timini, Tari. These were the sons of Nera. The sons of Heloth was Zerah, Zohar, Itham, and Kaz begot Anub, Zobai, and families of the Harah, the sons of Haram. Now this is Jabez. And it says this, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. And as we go forth in this word today, a life lesson from 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, and God granted him what he requested. God will give you the desire of your heart. Jabez lived an honorable life and made specific prayer requests to God, and the Lord heard him and answered his prayers. Prayer is life's greatest time saver. And, you know, I will say, if opportunity presents itself, you know, read the Chronicles. You know, as we end with chapter 4, verse 41, it says, these recorded by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and they attacked their tents, and the Munites who were found there, and utterly destroyed them, as it was to this day. So they dwelt in their place, because there was pasture for their flocks there. Now some of them, 500 men of the sons of Simeon, went to Mount Seir, having as their captains Pelatz, Neri, Raphai, and Uzziel, the sons of Ishai. And they defeated the rest of the Amalekites who had escaped. They have dwelt there to this day. And that is our word today. And I just have a couple of proverbs. and then we will be wrapping it up. But after all of the begots, Proverbs 19:4-5 says, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friends. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. That's why you don't worry about what he said, she said. Just know that God's got you covered. Proverbs 19:6-7, many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. And our last word for this morning is this. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished. So there it is again. And he who speaks lies shall perish. So understand, you don't have to worry about what he said, she said, and Wubu said. God's got you covered. So I thank you all for listening to all the begots and the mispronounced names that your host did today. But know that we all need to know who your daddy is. And we know who our daddy is, and he is our Father God. And he is the best dad you could ever have, because he will give you the desire of your heart. But I pray again that the desire of your heart is to know him better. Thank you so much, family. Join me again on Sunday as we study the book of Acts. And I'm excited. I will get to see my father-in-law. Please keep us, my family, covered in your prayers as we travel the highways and byways to see my father-in-law. I am so excited. I will have all of my sons with me this weekend. And, you know, I'm grateful for that so they can see their grandfather. My daughter has to work, so she will not be going with me, or the grandchildren will be with their dad. So I will be with my son. So I thank God for his grace. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for answering the desire of my heart, which is to have all my sons together. One more time, hallelujah. And before we get out of here, a quick word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, is this. God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. And I say again, the Lord God will give you the desire of your heart, which I hope is strength in battle, wisdom in your decisions, and peace in everything that you do. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a blessed day, family. Join me Sunday. Enjoy your weekend for all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day if you're not available on Sunday. Thank you all for loving God more than anything. Have a blessed day. And we're going to end today on a song as we say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. It's a wrap. And work.
Yeah. hand upon you.
Keep your hand upon me.
Good night. Have a great day. Have a wonderful day. So good morning, good afternoon, and good night, family. Join me on Sunday as we celebrate Dad. Have a great and wonderful day. This is a wrap. May God bless you, increase you. May God give you the desire of your heart. I pray for increase of more time with him and more time with you. Have a great day, family. May God bless you and keep you today and always. May his light shine upon you as you move forward in your word and in your life. It is a wrap. Thank you for staying with me as we had a little praise and a lot of worship. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day and have a wonderful weekend. It's a wrap.